recording for the Leelanau Voices Oral History Project at the Leelanau Museum. Today is the 13th of March, 1998, and I'm talking with Norma Fredrickson Fredheim and George Fredrickson at Norma's home on Melkield Road in Northport. Laura Quackenbush is the interviewer, and this interview was done for the Garden Between the Shores Farmstead Documentation Project. So, first of all, we're going to be talking about the Fredrickson Farm, which is located in Northport. Do we have a street address for that?
Yes. It's on Foxview Road.
Foxview Road now.
I can get you the number.
What is it, 10201? Something like that. Okay.
We'll verify that and put that in the record. But just to establish the fact, yeah.
It's on the corner of Melkill Road and Foxview Road, actually. Farms on both sides of the road in that area, and it's in sections 32 and 33 of the, in sections of 32 north and range 11 west is what it is.
Just to establish some context here, you both grew up on that farm, correct?
That's right.
And your parents owned that farm before you. Who was the first in your family to live on that farm?
Was my grandfather, Andrew Fredrickson, and he purchased it and the farm in May 1st, 1886. It was 40 acres where the buildings and orchards and things are. And then in later years he purchased it in 1894 he purchased across the road a 20 acre parcel. And then after that I don't know who purchased it, but my father probably did, because we ended up with 98 acres when I was living there on the farm.
Now Andrew, was he What were his origins?
Well, he came to America in 1882 from Stenvik, Norway, and he landed in Ellis Island and later came trained to Traverse City. And he married my grandmother, Randy, who was a widow of Nels Olson in 1886. They were married.
And where did Randy come from then?
And Randy came from Toldalen, Norway, in 1880, and then was just married, I guess, and then Nels Olson, or they call him Halset, was her husband, and he was drowned in 1883 off from Gild's Pier, a small boat. They were going out to a sailboat and capsized. Mm-hmm.
So the first one that lived on the farm then was Andrew.
Andrew and Randy.
Randy, okay. And of interest of us too is how have you learned this, just from talking to your parents?
I have a book too from Toldalen, Norway, which says that they immigrated to America, and we've learned that from obituaries and from talking with parents. Yeah.
So that was when Andrew bought the farm. Was there already a farm established there, or was it all open land and he was the first Euro-American owner?
This is a copy of the first deed. Mm-hmm. And in the copy of the second deed, which George was talking about, they bought the first 40 acres from Ole Peterson and Mary Peterson. But down below here where Ole and Mary signed, they signed it Pederson, P-E-D-E-R-S-E-N. Well, she put an O in and he put an E in, mm-hmm. So up here it's P-E-T. But I would imagine you'd go by the Pederson. Okay. And they paid $500 for that first 40 acres. And they had a mortgage on it.
Mm-hmm.
Tells here who they had the mortgage
mm.
on.
Mm.
The second 20 acres, which was purchased from a Lewis O'Ranger, a single man, and they paid $400 for that. It makes me wonder, back in the, when Northport was settled and they had a school at Ominee, their closest neighbor was a ranger,
mm-hmm.
but not Lewis, so I'm wondering if Lewis might have been a son of that ranger, and that was the Steiner-Garthy farm. And so they had purchased land then from this Lewis ranger. When I look at the map here in the Leelanau history book of 1881.
This is the atlas of 1881 that she's kind of looking at.
You can see there. I almost need a magnifying glass for it, but let me see here. Where does the road go out? Right here.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see this. You can see this. I had it a while ago and now I lost it.
Right. And we're talking about right here, right?
Oh yeah, here is
it says Charles Olson and Charles Oberst. Isn't this what we're talking about right here? Or am I off here?
No, I had another map too a while ago that showed that.
Ranger was in that area. I remember looking at atlas like in 1900 and things like that. He owned property around that area.
J.W. Ranger right here.
Okay.
This is where the road goes out.
Okay.
And this is the field. It says 40 acres there, mm-hmm. but and here's this Ole Peterson too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So where's the farm on here right now? I'm getting
well, this is where this is where the building is.
Right there.
The house and the building are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Norma, you were looking at another. You were quoting from a book here, and you have what is this? The Garthy family history that you're looking at?
That $2 book.
This one here.
Oh, this is the Fredrickson history book.
Okay.
And
you have copies of the old warranty deeds and mortgages.
I gave these two deeds to Gary,
mm-hmm.
so he has the originals now. Mm-hmm. And the originals came from Jimmy Fredrickson Empire.
Mm-hmm.
How come his dad had them, he didn't know, but
mm-hmm.
he thought that we should have them. So he gave them to me, and then I made these copies
mm-hmm.
for the book.
Mm-hmm.
But then I gave the originals to Gary with his records. And I think he must have most of the deeds for all of these pieces of property.
I had abstracts on the farm and all that, and
mm-hmm.
I turned them over to Gary.
Yeah. So we can go back and kind of recreate the maps and show. Yeah, we should do that. Okay,
well,
put that in a record. Yeah.
I kind of drew out a map, and I wondered where these pieces were, but I'm not that familiar with sections and towns.
Well, that might be something better to show, you know, where there you go.
That's
great. Norma's got a map out that she's
well,
drawing.
Well, it's not
that's fine
to scale or anything,
yeah.
but I figured this was the
mm-hmm.
ranger property that was Steiner's, and
mm-hmm.
and how much of this made the 20 acres and how much made the 40, I don't know.
Right.
But that would be 60 acres, and as George said, we did have 90-some acres. So,
mm-hmm.
And then they brought,
see,
George
what
and
what
Elaine
what
bought this Melkill property then
okay.
later.
The original 40 was this,
mm-hmm.
uh-huh.
and then the 20 was this across here.
Okay,
across
so this
the
is
road.
Number one, and then this
be
is
number two, and then my dad, I think, brought from Brace or somebody this down here that connects down to.
Yeah, we can make it two. Then what
then
across?
This piece here, across here would be.
Here.
Would be.
Oh, Oberst owns that at one time,
yeah, but this here would have been the balance. So that was was 60, and this was, would be, it was 98 acres altogether, mm-hmm. I remember. Because this was where Ina Bell lives now, mm-hmm. in, on Melville, or on Nelson Road, mm-hmm. was taken out for where that is. It's where her house in the swamp area is. But then this 20 acres, I purchased, that goes along Seth Road from the Melville estate when Mary Melville was deceased.
Well, when we get done, we'll probably write some of those notes on there. Probably best done with a graphic rather than just our talking about it.
Yeah.
So that's the bound, so we can show the boundaries today. So the ethnic background of the family was Norwegian, and you told us what parts that they come from. And they came directly from Norway here.
Yes.
Do you know if both of those families were involved in agriculture in Norway? Were they farmer families or urban families?
Well, they were out in the country.
I suppose, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, in Norway, people came to America because there wasn't enough land for them to live on, and but there were sometimes large landowners, and they had little farmers farming the different areas of that land. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, I think the reason that this Olsen, some of the family took the name of Halset, was because it was the area that mm-hmm. they came from.
Mm-hmm.
And but in this book, it shows too that you see Ola Pedersen had a son, Peder, so he took the name of Olsen then mm-hmm. from his dad, Ola.
Right.
And then the next generation took the name of Ola Pedersen, and this is the way this went down.
Mm-hmm.
So difficult to mm-hmm. to really.
So you have no idea whether those families were landowners in Norway?
Well, people that have gone back to where they originated from, it's up in the hills, and they have cattle and fields, and mm-hmm. so I'm sure they were
landowners.
Yeah. Grandma Randy used to talk about going up the mountain in the summer with the cattle for summer pasture,
mm-hmm.
and I know she talks sometimes about seeing a bear on the way,
mm-hmm.
but she never... Randy never learned English. She never spoke English.
Hmm. Could she understand it?
I really don't know.
And Andrew, my grandfather, he died before I was born. The year before I was born, so I never knew him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, got pictures of him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So.
It was rather difficult communicating with Randy. We kind of knew Norwegian enough to get along with her, but mm-hmm. that was about it.
Mm-hmm.
Her sister, Brenda, why she got so she could speak some of it or get along with her better. I never did.
Well, our sister Randa only knew Norwegian when she started school.
Mm-hmm.
She had to learn English
mm-hmm.
then.
So you don't know whether they came because they were second sons and there wasn't room land for them there, or was that any of that knowledge passed down?
Not really, no.
Were there other people from that area of Norway that came to Northport?
This whole book of Dohertys is those that came from the Nordmore area. Instead of counties over there, they had parishes,
mm-hmm.
and Nordmore was one of the areas. And you know, if we knew how to read Norwegian, we could probably find out more, but I don't know how to read Norwegian.
So both families came from the Nordmore area?
Yes.
Okay. And they were already families here when they came, or
somewhere,
or they were some of the first ones?
Yes. Randy had a sister here. She was married to Nelson, and their children, our grandchildren and so forth, are still here. The Burdos, Bartletts, and Grandpa had two brothers that came and two sisters that came here, but they moved on to Wisconsin and North Dakota, and had big farms out that way.
Do you have any ideas what features on that farm reflected the Norwegian heritage, the building types, or have you ever had any feedback from or personal knowledge of that?
I often wondered who built the first building on that farm. Was it this Ole and Mary Peterson?
What was the first building?
Well, I would imagine it would be the house on this map here.
Mm-hmm.
It shows a little square. So that makes me think, well, there was a building there. But
probably
you kind of wonder.
A house, I
probably
assume.
Just the square. House. As far as today, which buildings are old there would be the granary and the pig house and the wood shed.
And the wagon shed.
And the tool shed, but I think Dad might have built that. I'm not sure.
I don't know. That might have been there. Part of it. We remodeled it and added to it.
This probably was the this is Andrew and Randy.
That's
a picture.
House. Okay. Again, we're looking at the Fredheim or the Fredrickson family history book. Okay.
So,
and who's out? That's them.
And this is Randy and Andrew. And this is Randy and Andrew.
And the children.
And their children, and now Randy had the two children with Niels Olsen, Ole and Theodore.
Mm-hmm.
I found the news article about her first husband drowning, but I have never found an obituary for him, probably because I couldn't find a newspaper unless somebody's. And the son, Theodore, died, and the only thing I ever heard was that he had fallen off a roof, and they took him to Ann Arbor, and he died there.
Yeah.
But I've never found an obituary for him either, because I never could seem to find a paper that would have it.
Ann Arbor might have been down in that area.
You'd think that they would have an obituary up here, though.
I'm sure there would have been an obituary, maybe, if we could have found this is the one that died. And Ole and Theodore grew up then with Andrew, pretty much, and took the name of Fredrickson.
Mm-hmm.
But then I heard later that when Ole wanted to get his Social Security, he had never been adopted and legally made a Fredrickson, so he had to change his name when he was old.
Mm-hmm.
Legally change it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's...
Okay, you got that pretty much documented in your book. So some of the buildings you're fairly certain, and we'll have to go through this probably with a site map or something, were probably built by, well,
my grandfather.
Okay.
Or
and others
on the
would
property
have been built,
before.
Yeah, it would have built by the other family. Okay.
I think the most ethnic things are like what I wrote in here a little bit. Were the way that they lived, the foods we ate, the church was important, and just they kept talking Norwegian until probably when George and I were born. They would talk Norwegian between themselves, but it was usually so we wouldn't understand.
Right.
But we kind of understood anyway, some of it.
Maybe we need to just to complete that part of it, go back and say, when did you, this is getting personal, George, when were you born? When did you start living on the farm?
Well, I was born in April 7th, 1921.
And you were born on the farm?
Well, I was actually born in Traverse City because I was Caesarean.
Mm-hmm. He was the first Caesarean born in Traverse City.
Wow.
And Dr. George Frelick and Dr. Robert Flood were the doctors. Mother had to take the train from Northport to Traverse, where they did the Caesarean, and she often told me, she said, that they had a gallery to watch. and it was in that house over on 14th Street.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then when I came along, oh, they couldn't do two Caesareans, could they? But they did.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Frelick had been out on a call, and he had got pneumonia, and was very ill. And Mother often said it was just chaos there because they were so upset that he was ill. Now that was in January, and I believe he died in April, probably from complications of this.
Yeah.
But anyway,
there is a picture of Frelick.
Frelick, yeah, orphan.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So that's where George.
My
Frelick.
You make medical history.
And Robert Flood.
George Frelick and Robert Flood.
Oh, really?
Yes. And Dr. Flood remembered him on his birthdays, Christmas. And Mother always remembered him by bringing a fat hen down there for their dinner and all these things.
Dr. Flood was a doctor here in Northport,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Just for our listeners. And Dr. Frelick was from Cedar. He was
yes.
a doctor down there. Okay. And Norma, when were you born?
In January 15th, 1924.
Both born, and you were born in Traverse City.
In Traverse City.
Right, okay. But came home to live on the farm, though.
Yes.
Okay. I think what we want to do now is do a little what. Maybe go to what you remember from what your father told you and what you know of the history of the farm before you were there, about what crops they raised, and then we'll move up and follow through and how those changed.
Well, Norma's got this.
I wrote these. This,
I
don't know.
Her,
you know, this
it,
is.
But I'm sure that there were apple trees on the farm, and
mm-hmm.
I don't know just when the sweet cherry was developed by Ralph Nelson. Neighboring farm, but we had those old sweet cherries, and they were big trees, so they had to be there many years.
Like how many? You're the fruit farmer, so tell me.
Well, when I remember the old sweets up there on the hill, but heavens, they were had to be 30 years old, you know, I would assume.
But there were.
And there was.
Probably 50 or so.
Yeah.
Around 50 trees.
Black sweets.
And you're talking about the Nelson variety.
Nelson
yes. I was trying to find that in here, but I couldn't.
A block of apples next to the Garthy farm
mm-hmm.
on the south end. And I think there was about six rows, and they were like over 2 feet in diameter, the trunks on them. So they had to have been there when either Andrew bought the farm or he had to plant them or whatever to be that large.
And they're planted as an orchard then. What varieties were they?
There was Baldwin, and there was Grimes Golden, and Greening, and some Wagners.
Mm-hmm.
Is what
yeah.
I remember, because I took most of the orchard out
mm-hmm.
afterwards.
What other crops did they raise? And do you remember them telling you they raised?
Andrew raised some ginseng in a lattice house across the road from the farmhouse, and Steiner Garthy remembers the old lats that were there and the remains of it. He said he told me that one day. He also had other farm crops and cattle, and his farming was done with horses.
Do you remember, I'm going to be more specific now, you remember what other crops or can you speculate
I would think
what they
grain.
Were?
I know there was an old sigh and a cradle there, so they had to have used that
yes,
at
oats.
One time.
Oats.
Oats,
wheat.
Yeah.
Corn.
I don't know that much about wheat. They
okay.
might have, but
I doubt
oats
and
for
corn.
Feeding the animals.
The animals and hay, of course,
mm-hmm.
and potatoes. They raised potatoes there for years.
Mm-hmm. What variety of potato did they think?
Russets. That's what they were.
So. We really don't know too much about what Andrew raised, except that we're sure that he raised these things.
Mm-hmm.
Apples, fruit.
And the old barn that was there, they had to have
hay
and this for it. We had one picture of the old barn where I was a little kid laying down hay outside of it or something,
mm-hmm.
but that's long gone. And
mm-hmm. Was some of it pasture land then? I think they kept
sure.
Sure.
They kept milk cows.
And they probably cleared land. some land clearing, because I remember we done land clearing where we got a sweet orchard. That we cut all the trees off and working up there as a kid to get the stumps out and so forth to clear the land so that it could plant it. With horses, you know.
How about sugar bush?
Not too much as far as my folks were concerned.
Even for family consumption, did they?
We did some when we were there.
Dad, mother did too, some.
Just for our own use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess my next question is about how that changed then. Do you have any sense that it changed from what your grandfather did to what your dad did? Or did your father, as far as you know, do about the same
thing? I think that Gary probably has a deed when it was deeded over to the folks.
Right.
Mother and dad were married in 1916,
mm-hmm.
So it had to have been around then. Grandpa Andrew died. 1920, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Andrew died in 1920, and I'm sure that Dad did the work then after that, too.
Do you think he tried some things that were different, though, than your grandfather?
Well,
or what did he do with the new land that he added?
He raised oats and corn and hay for
his
livestock.
This is your dad.
Plain fields.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And this area here, the apples were over in this area, and then on the end of the apples was about 4 or 5 acres of pear orchard.
Okay.
And they're still there today. And then what I remember as a child, my dad planted tart cherries, and that was a bunch across up here.
Mm-hmm.
And then around the house was old apple trees.
Mm-hmm.
And pear trees.
And pear trees and this stuff. But pear orchard, I don't know. My dad probably planted that.
I think he probably did, yeah.
You know, when I was just a kid, or when right after they got married in the late teens.
So fruit was an important part of that farm.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes.
But the rest of the farm was for grain, cattle, and corn and stuff for the livestock. And they had milk cows. When we were first there, they had Jersey cows and Guernsey cows. Later years, when I had them, I went to Holstein, but then also hogs. We always had hogs, because
mm-hmm.
The only way was to get rid of the milk was separated into cream, and the cream was sold to the creameries. There was a creamery in Northport at one time, and so the skim milk was given to the hogs.
So that was a reason for having hogs, to get.
Yeah.
You fed them the skim milk, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about, did they keep any fowl?
Oh,
oh
yes.
Oh, yeah, there was always chickens there, I'm sure. Because I know we had it when we took over from my dad. We had chickens, and we had hogs, and we had cattle, and general farming.
Mm-hmm. So did you raise any beef, or did you get that from?
Well, we'd always have something
or
for ourselves, for our own, you know, a young steer or something that we'd keep out for ourselves.
Now, when you were kids, did you have horses for work?
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
I worked with horses on the farm when I was a kid.
Any special variety?
Well, they were draft horses, more or less, not the big Persians or anything. They were just a plain horse is what they were. There were some of them were good Pretnier B. Boogie horses or whatever you call them, because I know we'd had one horse that we used to have up where we got sweet cherries now and all, was corn in the, you know, corn fields, and of course we worked the fields with horses, and we would cultivate the corn with horses, and we had this one horse by the name of Bob. He was the worst thing to.
He was a pacer.
He could run.
And he never tired out. And we rented land down at Ida Adol's, and we had this long cornfield.
and Steiner was going to work for us once. I don't think you were there at the time. And he said one morning, I am going to play that horse out today. And down the road he went with a one-horse cultivator. Well, he said, you come down with my lunch at noon. We're not stopping. At night, that horse came up the road. It was a brown horse, but it was black. And it was prancing. And Steiner was dragging behind.
Well, this is what I know. I used to cultivate corn with him. And when he would go across the field, like across the 40, he'd be on the end. And when he got to the end of the row, you'd better be ready. Because he would whip right around and take off down the next row. And if you didn't throw the cultivator around, you took out corn every time.
He knew his job.
He never stopped.
This horse belonged to the Bomagers, and their barn burned. It was the only animal that got out alive.
Broke the rope.
And he was frightened. If we went to town with a team and a train came in and that smoke went up, he was frightened. Evans Putnam got him after the barn fire, and he couldn't keep him in a pen. Hmm. So then Dad bought him and
broke him,
and we had another brown horse, which was a plug. And between the two, they kind of made a team.